sit with you and introduce you to some of the folks. And remember, this is a family-friendly community. So tonight, if you have your Bible, in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. This message, as I began making preparation several days ago, reading some scripture before, and really it started in the book of Philippians, as I was reading in the book of Philippians. But I come back to this passage. It kept referring back to the passage here as I've done some study. And I want us to look at that for just a while tonight, if we may, because I think it has something to say to us. There has been many $1,000 spent on bodybuilding equipment in the USA over the past years, 5 years. But before that, they were even more. But there are so many people today that are going to the gym, and they have a membership in the gym. And many of these places, I understand that there's only standing room. You have to, I heard a man say not long ago that he goes at 2 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym, because that's the only time he can really get in and do his exercise. And I thought about that, you know. What in the world is going to, for what purpose? What's the reason? What is the reason? Have you ever really thought about it? I asked one of the men in the church in Pavo one time, because he spent a lot of time in the gym and lifting weights. And I says, when you get 90 years old, you're going to still be lifting weights? He says, I probably won't live that long. I says, you probably won't either. That's right. But think, what is the purpose? I know we need to be all we can for the Lord. We need to do everything we can. And some of us have got some exercises, but it's table exercises. And others have got, most exercise they get is jumping conclusions, because that's what they do. But the thing about it is, what is the purpose of it? To build a body, to have a body someone can admire or look at? What is it all about? But I thought about this, and as I prayed, and this is what I really want out of this message, I want it to be a real bodybuilding sermon. But I want it to build the body of Jesus Christ, because that's the most important thing in the world in which we live today. There's several things that Paul brings out in this passage, the sentiment in our text tonight. So would you stand with me for the reading of the scripture, and remain standing for prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, starting in verse 10. He says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let's pray together. Father, we bow to give you thanks for today and for the privilege of life. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of worship today as we've come this morning for Sunday school and the lesson, Lord, about wisdom and being wise and how we can find wisdom and know the real aspect of wisdom through Jesus Christ. And Lord, for the message this morning, we pray, oh God, that our hearts have been open to what you would have us to know and to understand. And Father, tonight as we come, as we open your word, as we've read the word into the hearing of your people, I would pray even right now, God, that you would intervene in our hearts and our lives and make us keenly aware, O God, of that which you'd have us to be and to become for your glory. And the only way that we can know that, Lord, as we read your word and study your word and meditate in your word and pray and seek your will in your face. And I pray, God, tonight that this will be a time where you meet with us as you've never met with us before, and you will speak to our hearts as you've never spoken before. And Lord, that we will be changed and corrected and challenged in our Christian experience today. I pray, Father, tonight that you'll just do that which only you can. I come once again, Lord, asking you to take these feeble lips of clay, God, and speak through them the truth of your word. Lord, I feel like I could preach better if I felt better, but God, I would not have a better gospel to preach than that which Jesus has made possible and known unto us. And I pray, God, tonight that you would just work and do that which only you can. And even now, Lord, as an act of faith on our part, we ask you, God, to be with those that are less fortunate, those on our prayer list, those that are going through difficult and trying times. Minister their needs as only you can. And even now, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. As they sung that song a while ago, Brother Orville and them sung that song, it goes right along with the message tonight, because we live in a time where, as the people of God and as the children of God, we need to realize that we must exercise faith, our faith and trust in who God really is. And I think what the Apostle Paul was relating here tonight is something that we can grasp with our hearts and our hands and our very being. The first thing that we notice is this, and this is what we need to understand. God's divine energy releases. What have I got up here? I might ain't no telling what I got. God's divine energy releases in our lives through His inspired word. When I say His divine energy, it is released through our lives by the Word of God. Because see, as you recognize and understand and realize, the Word of God is that which is quick, is sharp, is powerful than any two-edged sword. The Scripture says, even dividing, separating the bone from the marrow. Listen, the same Word that spoke the universe into being can be released, that this divine power can be released in our lives. Just think about that for a moment. The same power, as John said in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And we think about this, that very Word, the explanation of that Word, the term Logos, the very evidence of God and who He is. This same Word that spoke the universe into being, can release the divine power in our lives. And that's something that we need to dwell on. We need to think about, how can it be done? You say, how can it be done? Well, first of all, we have a responsibility. And the first responsibility we have is we must have an appreciation for the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God is being blasphemed, lambasted all over the place today? Because people do not understand. They think it's old-fashioned. They think it's outdated. They think it's prehistoric. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is alive today, and it has just as much significance, just as much meaning as it ever have, because it is one that we understand the aspect of being appreciated. There are some things that go with it. First of all, if we appreciate it, we must realize that it is unique. The Bible is a unique book. Did you know that? It is a unique book because, see, it is one of a kind. One of a kind. When I say it's one of a kind in its teaching, in its application, and what it can do in people's lives, if they'll only allow the Word of God to take control. And that's what makes it so unique. I'm not saying that it's unique from a standpoint that it cannot be understood, because it can. But it's unique from a standpoint that it is one of a kind. In other words, it is original, is what I'm trying to say, as we think about it's unique. But not only that, it is also inspired. Did you know it is the inspired Word of God? The problem with us today is this. As we do not understand and recognize that it is the inspired Word of God, people who talk about it, who blaspheme it, who do everything they can in opposition to it, they do not realize that it's inspired. When I say inspired, we know that it was wrote by several different authors over several hundred years. But let me tell you something. God breathed into their heart and their life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they wrote what God would have them to write, and it has been canonized for us, and we have it today because it is the inspired Word of God. God inspired it. The term there means God breathed. That's what it's all about. God breathed it to man, and mankind wrote it down, and we have copies of it that we can take and we can look at, we can study, we can read. So it is inspired. The term also means it's inspired. It comes from one source. One source, even though God used many to pen the word, it comes from one source because they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to write what God spoke, and this one source, that's what makes it inspired. But now that there's something else too, we need to realize that it is also authoritative. Authoritative, that's where people have a problem. Because, see, they want to change it to say what they want it to say to fit their circumstance and situation. Because when they do, they think they're changing God's mind and God's attitude about them. But let me tell you something. It is authoritative because it is from the Creator to the creature. And the creature is aligned to align himself with what the Creator has said. That's what makes it authoritative, because it comes from the one who put it all together in the very beginning, who started it. We have a problem. We have a problem as the children of God. It's because, see, we do not allow the Word of God to be initiated in our life to the point that we believe it's the Word of God. Listen to me closely. Because, see, when we understand, if we appreciate the Word of God, if we understand the Word of God and we really appreciate the Word of God, we recognize God's power can be energized in our life. Thank God for that tonight. Thank God for that tonight, because see, I'm a walking miracle tonight. You're a walking miracle tonight. I could not have come tonight if it wasn't for God and the power He has. When we think about the aspect of God's Word and the power through the Word of God that changes circumstances and changes things. Not only we have the responsibility to appreciate the Word of God, we also must recognize that we must appropriate the Word of God. The Word of God has no significance, no meaning, no purpose whatsoever until it is appropriated. And I want you to listen to me very close, because I do not want to be misunderstood. I do not want to be misunderstood. This means more than picking it up and reading it. It also means more than listening to it. It also means more than studying it. What does it mean then to appropriate the Word of God? If I understand the Word of God correctly, and I understand the will and the purpose of God, it means to receive the Word of God. When I say receive the Word of God, that means I am to welcome it into my life. Welcome it into my life. How do I do that, you say? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because I want to share how you can do that. You receive the Word of God when you allow the Word of God to say to you what needs to be said. You appropriate the Word of God, and you receive it, and you make it a part of your inner being. Because, see, that's what changes and transforms life. That's what changed and transformed those disciples' life. That's what changed and transformed your life. See, Jesus come along, and religion could not do that. Because religion, what it did, it kind of whitewashed the outside. And Jesus talked a lot about that, did He not? But He says, whenever you respond to the very aspect of the Word of God, on the inside, on the inner man, what it does is it starts something happening on the inside, and it works its way out to be shown and seen. That's what the Word of God would do. Because, see, we must receive it into our inner being. Listen, God's truth is to spiritual man what food is to the physical man. Brother, I'll be brought some of that out this morning. I can look at you and tell that you probably meet three times a day around the table, maybe not at table, but we have usually three meals a day. I mean, some of us may eat more than that. There's Brother Manning, you know how big he was, and somebody asked him about it one time. He says, "He whom the Lord loves, He blesses." But the thing about it is we take care of the physical. We feed the physical. We're so caught up with the physical. I started talking about the weight situation and the weight benches and all the exercise equipment. They care for the physical. But what about the spiritual? What about the spiritual? See, it's taking the Word of God. It's appropriating the Word of God. It's being a part of our innermost being, who we are, and we allow the Word of God to change and to transform and to work through us to bring about God's will and purpose for us. So we must appreciate it. We must appropriate it. But there's something else that's real too. And we must also apply the Word of God. And you say, how do you do that, preacher? Well, I want to tell you that too. It only works, listen to me, I got a word up there. I think it's, I got it. It's exclusive. Did you know the Word of God is exclusive? When I say exclusive, I mean the Word of God is for believers. Do you hear me? The Word of God, if you study the Word of God is designed to aid and assist and to help believers in their life. I know there are passages of Scriptures that we use to deal with people that are lost, but the lost person cannot take the promises of the Word of God and apply them to their life because God does not hear them. God does not honor them. The Bible says that God does not hear their prayer. I thought I prayed for years. I thought I studied the Word of God for years. But I come to realize one day that the Bible says God does not hear the prayer of the sinner. Only the prayer He hears is the prayer of repentance, turning from ourself, turning to the Savior, and recognizing who He is and what He done for us. So we must also apply the Word of God. A Word of God. How do we do that? It only works in the life of believers. And that is, we must come to the point where we trust God for who God is. That's what it is. We sang that song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me tell you something. You cannot trust God unless you can obey Him. And you certainly cannot obey Him unless you trust Him. That's just a misnomer. It cannot happen. See, all our problems, and listen to me very close, all my problems, all your problems, all our situation is a faith problem or situation. It is a faith problem or a faith situation. I cannot even read my outline. We must apply the Word of God. It's inclusive. When I say it's inclusive, also we must recognize that those who respond to God's design for them to be a part of the family of God, to be saved, it is inclusive to those who will allow the Word of God to be exactly what God wants it to be in their life. First of all, salvation. That's the first step. That's the first step. So when we think about this, we must recognize and understand that what God wants is He wants our lives to be open to Him and to trust Him. And I said we have a faith problem. Faith problem. Do you remember the story in Matthew 12:13? Turn there just a moment. Let's just look at it. Best way to do it. You remember the story. He went into the synagogue and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they asked Jesus, is it good to do good on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And then He said for the man, stretch forth thy hand. You know what? That man had a decision right then to do. Just like we. He had a decision to make whether he's going to trust what Jesus said or not. Or he's going to look at the ridicule and all the other things of those religious leaders. And he's going to say, I better not do it. They'll make fun of me. I better not do it because, you know, I don't know what the consequences might be. He had a decision to make. He either had to do what Jesus asked him to do or not. But the Bible says that he stretched forth his hand, and that is an exercise of faith in what Jesus said and who Jesus was. And when he stretched forth his hand, the Bible says that he was made complete or whole. That's one example. Stretch out your hand. Another example, just four chapters over, the 14th chapter. Turn there while you're there. starting in verse 22. It says, "A straightway Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." Jesus is good at that, is he not? Getting alone to pray unto the Father. "And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea." Did you catch that? In the midst of the sea. "Point of no return. Tossed with the waves. For the wind was contrary, in opposition to their rowing and their efforts to get to land. And in the fourth watch of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus come unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'Is a spirit?' And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" Boy, don't you reckon those were some comforting words? "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water.' And Jesus said," what? "Come." One word, come. Right then, Peter had a decision he had to make. Whether he's going to stay in the boat or he's going to be obedient to what Jesus said. He had a choice to make. Stay in the boat or come to Jesus. Walk to Jesus. And of course, we know he stepped out. Listen close. The closer, maybe as Peter began to walk, something happened. Because see, when Jesus spoke the commandment to Peter, just like he did with the withered hand, Jesus' commandments are his enablements. Listen to me. Jesus' commandments are his enablements to do so as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, or he exercised his faith in Jesus and who he was. He triumphed over gravity in the situation. But Peter is like many of us. When things begin to happen and we look around us and we take our eyes off of Jesus, what happens? What happens? We begin to sink because we do not trust him the way that we should through the whole circumstance. See, Peter started off real good. I'm afraid a bunch of us wouldn't even got out of the boat, would we? But he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. I want you to listen to me and say this with me. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. Say it with me. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. Say it with me. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. I want you to say it with an emphasis on each word. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power. Do you get the picture? What I'm trying to say? When we have a problem, and I said this a while ago, when we have a problem or a situation, it is a faith circumstance and situation. We either do not step out in faith, or we do not take Jesus at His word. We do not realize that He can enable us to do whatever's necessary. Therefore, we kind of are reluctant to really, really trust Him. I'm speaking from experience now. Look at me. It is faith in God's promises that releases God's power.
The second thing you need to notice is it is only authenticated by the Holy Spirit of God. Only authenticated by the Holy Spirit of God. Only authenticated by the Holy Spirit of God. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The only evidence in your life as being a Christian is the working of the Holy Spirit in and through the circumstances of your life tonight. That is the only evidence you have. You can poke out your chest and you can say, I'm a good Christian. Like, what's his name? Little boy, what's his name? Pulled out his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, look, what a good boy am I. We can poke out our chest and we can brag about being a Christian. But the only evidence of being a Christian is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Bringing about the Word of God. Working the Word of God out in our lives. Oh, glory. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1, just a moment. 2 Corinthians 1. Look at verses 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 18 through 20. He says this, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindereth us. Let me tell you something. Satan will do everything he can to keep us from doing what God wants to do. I'm a witness of that tonight. Look, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Unto what purpose? For God to be glorified, because the fulfillment of the gospel is unto the faithful, the trustworthy. The trustworthy. Look at the last part of verse 13 in our text. What did I say it was? 1 Corinthians 2. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. As I thought about that and looked at that, I thought about many times in our life, and I know we're human, and we try to rationalize things out. We try to rationalize out, you know, where it maybe will fit our whatever. But according to the Word of God, when we obey Him and we trust what He says in the Word of God, we don't try to rationalize that, because we want what God wants. If we want what God wants, we trust God for what He can and will do. So that's why I say tonight, we need to open our heart to the Word of God. There are three things that Paul talks about there. That is the Word of God, that is prayer, and that is suffering. And he brings it all into perspective, because the Word of God many times is made known through as we pray, and even through suffering where we get into the Word of God. That's why I like this old song. And boy, it means something to me. I don't know about you. It says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applaud. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead. Sing it with me. Than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. Why? Because in and through Him, we have triumphed in every situation as we take Him at His word and apply faith, simple childlike faith, to what God says. Are you here tonight? Do you know Him as Savior? If not, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you're here tonight and you're going through a problem, a situation, a circumstance, as I said, well, no, it is a faith problem. Come put it on the altar. As 2 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And He does. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your blessed Word. We thank You how You speak to us out of Your Word and from Your Word. And we recognize and realize, Lord, that many times in Your speaking to us, You're wanting us to exercise faith and simply trust You. Father, I thank You tonight for Your strength that You've made known to me tonight. Oh, God, I know in my own I could not stood here, but I come thanking You and rejoicing, Lord, of what You've done. And I pray, Lord, the words, Lord, that we've looked at tonight, the Word of God, the significance of the Word of God, that if it's going to make an impact in our world today, it is through the life of believers who take it and trust it and allow it to speak to them and through them. Father, we pray whatever decision needs to be made here tonight, that You would do that as only You can in Jesus' name. And we pray in His name and for His sake alone. Amen. Hymn of invitation.